Good morning, good morning, everybody. With you this morning. Got a little bit late start, but God, hallelujah. Thanking God for waking me up. Thanking God for giving me a new day. I pray that each and every one of you have a wonderful day of thanks, a day of thanksgiving. For God gave us each one a do-over this morning. If you are listening in, you received a do-over. God gave you a new day, another day to sing his praises and to say thank you. Just say thank you. Telling God thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Moving forward, we are moving forward in the Word of God, and we are in the Old Testament this morning. I hope you are able to hear me well. If there is someone that cannot hear me, dial 213-943-3597. If I am not, you're not able to hear me clearly. Hallelujah. We're going to get started in our word this morning, in the word of God. It's going to be coming out of Ezekiel. We're going to be talking about building a temple today and gatekeeping and doing what we're called to do by God. The glory of the Lord filled the temple, and we want God's glory to fill our temples, each and every one. Everyone. Thanking God this morning. Hallelujah. So let's get started. Let's get started. Let's get started. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, grateful, thankful, and truly blessed to be your sons and daughters. To know that you are my God, our God, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord God, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You know, and we ask God not to let us be led into temptation of sin. And forgive us our sins, which is forgive us the debt of sin, or forgive those that have sinned against us. So we ask you, Father God, to please forgive us and forgive us. Forgive us, forgive us, and forgive us. In Jesus' name I pray. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy sight. For thine is my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I am grateful that God woke me up this morning, because I was sleeping pretty good. I was sleeping very good. But God, I felt like something pushed me, and it woke me up. And I thank my sister in Christ who sent me a note and asked, are you speaking today? And I did not even know that I had overslept. So I thank God for waking me up this morning, but starting me on my way. As the song says, I got shoes on my feet and food to eat. Thank him for being so good. So let's thank God again this morning for waking us up, for giving us another day, for giving us another day to sing his praises. So God gets the glory this morning for his grace and for his mercy. In Jesus' name, man, amen. Thank you, Lord, again for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, and putting food on the table, and shoes on our feet, and giving us your grace and your mercy. So let's get started in our word this morning. Again, we are coming out of Ezekiel chapter 41. It's where we'll be starting this morning. And God willing, we'll get through our entire Ezekiel word, which will be Ezekiel chapter 41 to chapter 46, verse 24. So let's get started. If there is anyone who would like to read, please push the number 1 on your phone. If not, let's get started. So then he brought me into the sanctuary and measured it. And we know when God measures something, it is absolute equal. There's no add to it, no taking from it. It is exactly the way it is supposed to be. Why? Because God said so. And I love this word because everything is cubics, 40 cubics wide, 20 cubics high. You know, it gives you exact that even if you want to build the temple today, you will be able to build it because everything is already put in writing that you can see it, you can visualize it, and you can rebuild it. And because it's from God, the glory of the Lord will fill the temple. God's glory fills his house. And it says this in our word. Then he brought me into the sanctuary and measured the doorpost, 6 cubits wide on one side and 6 cubits wide on the other side. The width of the tabernacle, the width of the entryway was 10 cubits. And the side walls, this side and 5 cubits on the other side. And he measured its length, 40 cubits, and its width, 20 cubits. And he also went inside and measured the doorpost, 2 cubits, and the entrance side, 6 cubits high. and the width of the entrance, 7 cubits. He measured the length, 20 cubits, and the width, 20 cubits, beyond the sanctuary, and he said to me, this is the most holy place. Next, he measured the wall of the temple, 6 cubits, the width. Each side chamber all around the temple was 4 cubits on every side. The side chambers were in 3 stories, one above the other. 30 chambers in each story. They rested on the ledges, which were for the side chambers, all around that they might be supported, but not fastened to the wall of the temple. As one went up from story to story, the side chambers became wider all around because their supporting ledges in the wall of the temple ascended like steps. Therefore, the width of the structure increased as one went up from one lowest story to the highest, by which of the middle ones I also saw an elevation all around the temple. It was the foundation of the side chambers, a full rod that is 6 cubits high. The thickness of the outer wall of the chamber was 5 cubits, and so also the remaining terrace was the place of the side chambers. All of the temple, the side chambers, I'm sorry, of the temple, and between it and the wall chambers was a width of 20 cubits all around the temple. And every side on every side. It says the doors of the side chamber opened on the terrace, and the doors were the north and another toward the south, and the width of the terrace was 5 cubits all around. The building that faced the separating courtyard at its western end was 70 cubits wide. The wall of the building was 5 cubits thick all around, and its length 90 cubits. So he measured the temple 100 cubits long, and the separating courtyard with the building and its walls was 100 cubits long. Also, the width of the eastern face of the temple, including the separating courtyard, was 100 cubits. He measured the length of the building behind it, facing the separating courtyard, with its galleries on one side, and on the other side, 100 cubits, as well as the inner temple and the porches of the court, their doorposts and the bedeviled window frames and the galleries all around the 3 stories opposite the threshold were paneled with wood from the ground to the windows. The windows were covered from the space above the door even to the inner room, as well as outside and on every wall all around, inside and outside by measure. And it was made with the cherubim and palm trees, a palm tree with a cherubim and cherubs. Each cherub had 2 faces, so that the face of a man was toward a palm tree on one side, and the face of a young lion toward a palm tree on the other side. Thus it was made throughout the temple all around, from the floor to the space above the door, and on the walls of the sanctuary, cherubim and palm trees were carved. The doorposts of the temple were square, as were the front of the sanctuary. Their appearance was similar. The altar was of wood 3 cubits high, and its length 2 cubits. Its corners, its length, and its sides were of wood. He said to me, this is the table that is before the Lord. The table and the sanctuary had 2 doors. The doors had 2 panels apiece, 2 folding panels, 2 panels for 1 door and 2 panels for the other door. Cherubim and palm trees were carved on the door of the tabernacle, just as they were carved on the wall. A wooden canopy was on the front of the vestibule outside. There were bevels and window frames and palm trees on one side, and on the other side of the sides of the vestibule, also on the side chambers of the temple and on the canopies. Then he brought me out into the outer court by the way toward the north, and he brought me into the chamber which was opposite the separating courtyard and which was opposite the building toward the north, facing the length, which was 100 cubits. The width was 50 cubits, was the north door opposite the inner court of 20 cubits, and opposite the pavement of the outer court was gallery against gallery in three stories. In front of the chambers toward the inside was a walk 10 cubits wide at a distance of 1 cubit, and the other door faced north. Now the upper chambers were shorter because the galleries took away space and from them more than from the lower and middle stories of the building. But they were in three stories and did not have pillars. The upper level was short more than the lower and middle levels from the ground up. And a wall which was outside ran parallel to the chamber at the front of the chamber toward the outer court. Its length was 50 cubits. The length of the chamber toward the outer court was 50 cubits, whereas the facing the temple was 100 cubits. At the lower chambers was the entrance on the east side as one goes into them from the outer court. Also, there were chambers in the thickness of the wall of the court toward the east, opposite the separating courtyard and opposite the building. There was a walk in front of them also, and their appearance was like the chambers which were toward the north. They were as long and as wide as the other, and all their exits and entrances were according to plan and corresponding to the doors of the chambers that were facing south. As one enters them, there was a door in front of the way directly in front of the wall toward the east. Then he said to me, the north chamber and the south chambers, which are off the courtyard, are the holy chambers where the priests who approach the Lord shall eat the most holy offerings. There they shall lay the most holy offerings, the grain offerings, the sin offering, and the trespass offering, for the place is holy. When the priests enter them, they shall not go out of the holy chamber into the outer court, but there they shall leave their garments in which they minister, for they are holy. They shall put on other garments, then they may approach that which is for the people. Now, when he had finished measuring the inner temple, he brought me out to the gateway that faces toward the east and measured it all around. He measured the east side with the measuring rod, 500 rods by the measuring rod all around. Then he measured the north side, 500 rods by the measure all around. He measured the south side, 500 rods by the measuring rod. He came into the west side and was measured 500 rods by the measuring rod. He measured it on all four sides. It had a wall all around, 500 cubits long and 500 wide, to separate the holy area from the common. And you're like, why is this woman giving us measurements today? Why is measurements important? Why do we need to know how many cubits were high, how many cubits were wide, what the measurement of the temple was? It's not that important. What was going on? The measurement of God's house was important. And why was it important? Because God said so. Because God doesn't give anything unless it's for a purpose and a reason. And God gave the measurement of his holy house for a purpose and a reason to Ezekiel, because he had to let his children know how his house must be built. He's letting us know his house must be built. And again, I thank you all for your prayers, because my voice is clearing up a lot. Thank you so much. I was having a little rough time this morning speaking. And so, prayer warriors, I appreciate you, and I thank you, and I thank God for you. Thank you very, very much. I'm starting to feel clearer as we speak. So let's continue in our word this morning. And again, thank you so much for your prayers. And it says, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. So if the glory of the Lord filled the temple, then the temple had to have been built, correct? So that's what this is all about, glory. God's glory in Israel, God's glory in our life, God's glory every day. He fills us with his glory. And this is what it says, and he shines upon the earth. And so let's keep going in our word this morning. It says, and it says, afterwards he brought me to the gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. And it says that it was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when I came to destroy the city. The vision was like the vision which I saw by the river Kabar. And I fell on my face, and the glory of the Lord came into the temple by way of the gate which faces toward the east. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And that's our word for this morning. The glory of the Lord filled. Then I heard him speaking to me from the temple, which a man stood beside me. And he said to me, son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the sole of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. No more than the house of Israel defile my holy name. No more shall the house of Israel defile my holy name. They nor their kings by their harlotry, or with the carcasses of their kings, or the high places. When they set their threshold by my threshold and their doorpost by my doorpost, with a wall between them and me, they defile my holy name by the abominations which they committed. Therefore, I have consumed them in my anger. Now let them put their harlotry and the carcasses of their kings far away from me, and I will dwell in their midst forever. Son of man, describe the temple to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of the temple, its arrangement, its exits, its entrances, its entire design, and all its ordinances, all its forms and all its laws, write it down in their sight, so that they may keep the whole design and all its ordinances and perform them. This is the law of the temple. The whole area surrounding the mountaintop is most holy. Behold, this is the law of the temple. These are the measurements of the altar in cubits. The cubic is one cubic, and the hand breadth. the base 1 cubic high and 1 cubic wide, with a rim all around its edge of 1 span. This is the height of the altar, from the base on the ground to the lower edge, 2 cubics, the width of the ledge, 1 cubic, from the smaller ledge to the larger ledge, 4 cubics, and the width of the ledge, 1 cubic. The altar arch is 4 cubics high, with 4 horns extending towards upwards from the arch. The altar arch is 12 cubics long, 12 wide, square. The ledge, 14 cubics long and 14 wide, on its 4 sides with a rim of 0.5 cubics around it. The base, 1 cubic all around, and its steps face toward the east. And he said to me, Son of man, thus says the Lord God, these are the ordinances for the altar on the day when it is made from sacrificing burnt offerings on it and for sprinkling blood on it. You shall give a young bull for a sin offering to the priests, the Levites who are of the seed of Zadok, who approach me and minister to me, says the Lord God. You shall take some of his blood and put it on the 4 horns of the altar, on the 4 corners of the ledge, and on the rim around it. Thus you shall cleanse it and make atonement for it. Then you shall also take the bull of the sin offering and burn it in the appointed place of the temple outside the sanctuary. On the 2nd day you shall offer a kid blemish for a sin offering, and they shall cleanse the altar as they cleanse it with the bull. Then you shall have finished cleansing it. You shall offer a young bull without blemish and a ram from the flock without blemish. When you offer them before the Lord, the priest shall throw salt on them and will offer them up as a burnt offering to the Lord. Every day for 7 days you shall prepare a goat for a sin offering. They shall also prepare a young bull and a ram from the flock, both without blemish. 7 days they shall make atonement for the altar and purify it and also consecrate it. When these days are over, it shall be on the 8th day, and therefore they that the priest shall offer your burnt offerings and your peace offerings on the altar, and I will accept you, says the Lord God. Chapter 44 of Ezekiel. Then he brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary, which faces toward the east, but it was shut. And the Lord said to me, this gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter by it, because the Lord God of Israel has entered by it. Therefore it shall be shut. As for the prince, because he is the prince, he may sit in it to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by way of the vestibule of the gateway and go out the same way. Also he brought me by way of the north gate to the front of the temple. So I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell on my face. And the Lord said to me, Son of man, mark well, see with your eyes and hear with your ears all that I say to you concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord and all its laws. Mark well who may enter the house and all who go out from the sanctuary. Now say to the rebellious, to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, O house of Israel, let us have no more of all your abominations. When you brought in foreigners, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to defile it, my house, and when you offered my food, the fat and the blood, when they broke my covenant because of all your abominations, and you have not kept charge of my holy things, but you have set others to keep charge of my sanctuary for you. Thus is the Lord God. No foreigner, uncircumcised in heart or uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter my sanctuary, including any foreigner who is among the children of Israel. And the Levites who went far from me when Israel went astray, who strayed away from me after the idols, they shall bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary as gatekeepers of the house and ministers of the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to them, because they ministered to them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore, I say to them, they shall bear their iniquity, and they shall not come near me to minister to me as priests, nor come near any of my holy things, nor into the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. Nevertheless, I will make them keep charge of the temple for all its work and for all that has to be done in it. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood, says the Lord God. They shall enter my sanctuary, and they shall come near my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall be whenever they enter the gates of the inner courts that they shall put on linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister within the gates of the inner court or within the house. They shall have linen turbans on their heads and linen trousers on their bodies. They shall not clothe themselves with anything that causes sweat. When they go out to the outer courts, to the people, they shall take off their garments in which they have ministered, leave them in the holy chambers, and put on their other garments, and in their holy garments they shall not sanctify the people. They shall enter their, they shall neither shave their heads nor let their hair grow long, but they shall keep their hair well trimmed. No priest shall drink wine when he enters the inner court. They shall not take as a wife a widow or a divorced woman, but take virgins of the descendants of the house of Israel, or widows of priests. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. In controversy, they shall stand as judges and judge it according to my judgment. They shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my appointed meetings. They shall hallow my Sabbath. They shall not defile themselves by coming near a dead person, only for father or mother, for son or daughter, for brother or unmarried sister may they defile themselves. After he is cleansed, they shall count 7 days for him, and on the day that he goes to the sanctuary to minister in the sanctuary, he must offer his sin offering in the inner court, says the Lord God. It shall be in regard to their inheritance and their inheritance. You shall give them no possession in Israel, for I am their possession. They shall eat the grain offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. Every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs, the best of all first fruits of any kind, and every sacrifice of any kind from all your sacrifices shall be the priest. Also you shall give to the priest the first of your ground meal, the cause of blessing to rest on your house. The priest shall not eat anything, bird or beast, that died naturally or was torn by a wild beast. And this is a life lesson that Dr. Stanley gave us. It says the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. Even today, the whole earth shines with the glory of God's creative genius. But one day it will shine with the glory of his redemptive and saving genius when the Savior rules in the fullness of complete joy will finally arise. We know that Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. And he's coming back for us. And his glory shall fill the sanctuary. It shall fill us. It shall fill his temple. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord fill the temple. And it will continue to fill the temple. And it will continue to fill the temple through us. Hallelujah. Let God's light shine in you this morning. And as we get into our last word this morning, Ezekiel chapter 45 and 46, we will be going a little bit over our 8 o'clock time today because we started after our 8 o'clock time this morning. We still will be about an hour, but it will be a little bit later. So again, I thank you all for coming back and joining me this very cold 19-degree morning. Woo, it is extremely cold where I am living today. 19 degrees. Wow. With a high of about 39 today. So, woo, very cold day. But let God's glory again fill you, his warmth, and with his love. And I just say again, if you don't have to go out today, stay home. All that shopping, we talked about it on yesterday. If you don't have, don't spend. That's all I'm saying this morning. If you don't have, don't spend. And let's get again into our word. And it says in Ezekiel chapter 45, and again, this is a life lesson of God's house, of God's glory, of what God wants us to do, be gatekeepers in his house. Hallelujah. And it says, moreover, when you divide the land by lot into inheritance, you shall set apart a district for the Lord. A holy section of the land, its length shall be 25,000 cubits. And the width, 10,000, it shall be holy throughout its territory, all around. Of this, there shall be a square plot for the sanctuary, 500 by 500 rods, with 50 cubits around it, for an open. For this is the district you shall measure, 25,000 cubits long and 10,000 wide. In it shall be the sanctuary, the most holy place. It shall be a holy section of the land belonging to the priests, the ministers of the sanctuary who come near to minister to the Lord. It shall be a place for their houses and a holy place for the sanctuary. An area 25,000 cubits long and 10,000 wide shall belong to the Levites, the ministers of the temple. They shall have 20 chambers as a possession. You shall appoint as the property of the city an area 5,000 cubits wide and 25,000 cubits long adjacent to the district of the holy section. It shall belong to the whole house of Israel. The prince shall have a section on one side and the other of the holy district and the city property, and bordering on the holy district and the city property, extending westward on the west side and eastward on the east side. The link shall be set by side with one of the tribal portions from the west border to the east border. The land shall be his possession in Israel, and my princes shall no more oppress my people, but they shall give the rest of it, of the land, to the house of Israel, Israel and Judah. And it says this, thus says the Lord God, enough, O princes of Israel, remove violence and plunder, execute justice and righteousness, and stop dispossessing my people.
says the Lord God. You shall have honest scales, an honest ephah, an honest bath. The ephah and the bath shall be of the same measure, so that the bath contains 1/10 of a homer, and ephah 1/10 of a homer. Their measure shall be according to the homer. The shekel shall be 20 gerahs, 20 shekels, 25 shekels, and 15 shekels shall be your mina. This is the offering which you shall offer. You shall give 1/6 of an ephah from a homer of wheat and 1/6 of an ephah from a homer of barley. The ordinance concerning oil, the bath of oil, is 1/10 of a bath from a gore. A gore is a homer, or 10 baths for 10 baths, or a homer. And one lamb shall be given from a flock of 200 from the rich pastures of Israel. These shall be for grain offering, burnt offering, and peace offering, to make atonement for them, says the Lord God. All the people of the land shall give this offering, for the prince of Israel shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings, grain offerings, and drink offerings at the feast of the new moons, the Sabbaths, and all the appointed seasons of the house of Israel. He shall prepare the sin offering, the grain offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offering to make atonement for the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, in the first month, on the first day of the month, you shall take a young bull without blemish and cleanse the sanctuary. The priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering and put it on the doorposts of the temple and on the four corners of the ledge of the altar, on the gatepost of the gate of the inner court. And so you shall do on the seventh day of the month. For everyone who has sinned unintentionally or in ignorance, thus you shall make atonement for the temple. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you shall observe the Passover, a feast of 7 days. Unleavened bread shall be eaten, and on that day the prince of the land, a bull for a sin offering. On the 7 days of the feast, he shall prepare a burnt offering to the Lord, 7 bulls and 7 lambs without blemish, daily for 7 days, and a kid of the goats daily for a sin offering. And he shall prepare a grain offering of 1 ephah for each bull, and 1 ephah for each ram, together with a hin of oil for each ephah. In the 7th month, on the 15th day of the month, at the feast, he shall do likewise for 7 days according to the sin offering, the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the oil. Thus says the Lord God, the gateway of the inner court that faces toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but on the Sabbath shall be open, and on the day of the new moon it shall be open. The prince shall enter by way of the vestibule of the gateway from the outside and stand by the gatepost. The priest shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offering. He shall worship at the threshold of the gate. Then he shall go out, but the gate shall not be shut until evening. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the entrance to the gateway before the Lord on the Sabbath. And the new moon, the burnt offering that the prince offers to the Lord on the Sabbath, shall be 6 lambs without blemish. Everything is told you what you need. So every priest knows exactly how many lambs, how many rams, how many goats, and what day they are for. And it tells us, on the day of the new moon, it shall be a young bull without blemish, 6 lambs and a ram. They shall be without blemish. He shall prepare a grain offering of an ephah for a bull, an ephah for a ram, as much as he wants to give for the lambs, and a hen of oil with friends enters the inner. He shall go in by way of the vestibule of the gateway and go out the same way. But when the people of the land come before the Lord on the appointed feast days, whoever enters by way of the north gate to worship shall go out by way of the south gate. And whoever enters by way of the south gate shall go out by the way of the north gate. It shall not return by way of the gate through which it came, but shall go out through the opposite gate. The prince shall then be in their midst. When they go in, he shall go in. And when they go out, he shall go out. At the festivals and the appointed feast days, the grain offering shall be an ephah for a bath, for a bull, and an ephah for a ram, as much as he wants to give for the lambs, and a hin of oil for every ephah. Now when the prince makes a voluntary burnt offering, a voluntary peace offering to the Lord, the gate that faces toward the east shall then be opened for him, and he shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offering. And he did on the Sabbath day. Then he shall go out, and after he goes out, the gate shall be shut. You shall daily make a burnt offering to the Lord of a lamb of the first year without blemish. You shall prepare it every morning, and you shall prepare a grain offering with it every morning. It's a sixth of an ephah and a third of a hin of oil to moisten the fine flour. This grain offering is a perpetual ordinance to be made regularly to the Lord. Thus they shall prepare the lamb, the grain offering, and the oil as a regular burnt offering every morning. Thus says the Lord God, if the prince gives a gift of some of his inheritance to any of his sons, it shall belong to his sons. It is their possession by inheritance. But if he gives a gift of some of his inheritance to one of his servants, it shall be his until the year of law to the prince, but his inheritance shall belong to the sons. It shall become theirs. Moreover, the prince shall not take any of the people's inheritance by evicting them from their property. He shall provide an inheritance for his sons from his own property, so that none of my people may be scattered from his property. Now he brought me through the entrance, which was on the south, on the side of the gate, into the holy chambers of the priest, which faced toward the north. And there a place was situated at their extreme western end. And he said to me, this is the place where the priest shall boil the trespass offering and the sin offering, and where they shall bake the grain offering, so that they do not bring them out into the outer court to sanctify the people. Then he brought me out into the outer court, corners of the court. And in fact, in every corner of the court, there was another court. In the four corners of the court were enclosed courts, 40 cubits long and 30 wide. All four corners were the same size. There was a row of building stones all around them, all around the four of them, and the cooking hearths were made under the rows of stone all around. And he said to me, these are the kitchens where the ministers of the temple shall boil the sacrifices of the people. And that is our word this morning. On yesterday, we did do our Psalm 133, and we do have a few more minutes this morning. And we're going to go in and do our finish up Psalm 133 this morning. Psalms 134, excuse me, y'all. I'm trying to get my Bible situated here. Here we go. Psalms 134, verses 1 through 3. And it says, behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Hallelujah. What a word. And we're going to continue in our Psalms this morning. In Psalm 135, verses 1 through 7, it says, praise the Lord. Again, we want God's temple to shine. We want his light to shine on us and through us. For that is, he is God, and we want his light to shine. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord God. Blessed be his name forevermore. Blessed be the name of the Father. Blessed be the name of the Son. Blessed be the name of the Most High Spirit. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of God. Gracious God, we thank you this morning for your word today. We thank you for your glory that shines upon us today. And we praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Praise be the Lord God, who is our Father and who causes us to triumph in his holy name. Not by our might, not by our will, but by his power. And it says, praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for the special treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. He causes the best vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes the lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. Hallelujah. For some life lessons from Dr. Stanley. From this psalm word. From this psalm word is this. And this is as we wrap it up with some proverbs this morning. Our psalm, it says, whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. It may be simplistic to say that God does whatever he wants to, but it isn't real. It really, it isn't. The key is, what does he want to do? It pleases the Lord to do good, to show mercy, to restore grace, and nothing can stop him. His glory shines on each of us. His light shines on each of us. Thanks be to God who causes us to triumph in not our name, but in his holy name. God is so good, and he loves us so much. All I can say is thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, God, for your mercy, for your love. Thank you, God, for your kindness. Thank you, God, for just being who you are, a wonderful Father and a great, great God. And we are blessed that we should always thank God for allowing his holy light to shine in and on us. The glory of the Lord fill the temple. Let his glory fill you today. Let him fill you in your coming in. And you're going out. Let him feel you to know that you are above and not beneath. And this is the last thing we have for this morning. Is Proverbs chapter 29, verse starting at verse number 6. By transgression, the evil man is snared, but the righteous sings and rejoices. Hallelujah. We sing and we rejoice in the glory of the Lord as it fills our temples. Again, in Proverbs 29:7, the righteous consider the cause of the poor, but the wicked does not understand such knowledge. We wonder why folks are talking trickle down this and that. It doesn't trickle down. It trickles up by how you treat your fellow man? Do you love God and do you love his people? And as we finish it up, it says, God has set a city aflame, but wise men turn away wrath. So praise God today. Give his name a shout out. And as we go back one last time and read Psalms 135, 1 through 7, praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, all you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all the deep places. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. And I say today, as we wrap it up this morning, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Let God's glory fill you today. As you travel the highways and byways, as you shop, as you feast, as you do whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. And let his light shine in you. Wherever you go, know that you are God's child and that you are loved more than anything. He loves us, his adopted children, just as he loves his one and only begotten son. Thank you so much for listening in this morning. If you have a word from God, please push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. If not, I pray over you and yours. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And it's just simply this, giving thanks today. Give thanks to the Lord God in all that you do. Let his grace shine upon you. And know that you are special to the Lord and he is special to you. Give thanks. And I love a word, and we're going to go over yesterday's word. I didn't get a word from Sister Carolyn this morning, but I do say today, let every day be a day of thanks. Let every day be a day that you give God glory, honor, and praise that he woke you up this morning. Because again, somebody didn't wake up today, but you did. Give thanks unto the Lord and let his light shine in you wherever you go. When people see you, they will know that you are a child of God, that you don't know any strangers, because we are God's light on this earth. When they see you, they see him. Be blessed, family. It is, as we say, moving forward. It's a wrap, y'all. Why? Because it's time to go up, get up. It's time to go to work. And who do we work for? We work for the Most High God. We work for God. And because we work for him, we got to get up. We got to go to work. And again, I thank you for bearing with this sleepy child of the Lord. Because I did have a tendency to kind of stay up a little late last night. So I thank, my mom is visiting, so I like being with my mother. So I thank God for you, and I thank God for peaceful rest. Have a blessed day, family. And join me tomorrow morning. No, not tomorrow morning. Join me Sunday morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we read the New Testament word from 1 Peter. Again, I thank you. So, again, we will be in 1 Peter on Sunday.
And we'll be starting in 1 Peter. I believe chapter 2. So 1 Peter chapter 2 on Sunday we'll be starting. So thank you again. Be blessed. Know that He is God and He loves us. And that His glory, the glory of the Lord, may fill each of your temple. In Jesus' name I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. It's time to do what? Go to work. Be blessed. It's a wrap.